Mackay Dunoo! Podblast fans, it's time to giddy up for the cricket's biggest game. Not Pakistan-India, no. Those preening, lily-livered posh boys from England versus the noble, Mel Gibson-loving, independence-seeking Scots. But will the Scotch egg chasers be shouting, "We're doomed!" Or will England walk 500 miles home with their tails between their legs, thanks to an extra Scotland yard of pace, plus some county stuff? Podblast! Well, Jimmy, where's my sporran? It's England versus Scotland. Alex, how excited are you?
1990, England-Scotland, Bill McLaren, David Soul, Stanger, ripping my heart out, Rory Underwood, heart to the poll tax. There's a ferment, a political ferment going on right now, and it's very nostalgic for me. It's going to be huge.
It's going to be huge, Alex. With us, as always, is Joe Harmon. How are you, Joe Harmon?
I'm very well, thank you, Ross.
Very good. Are you looking forward to the England and Scotland matchup of the century?
I am. The rugby thing was a bit wasted on me. I was five and not really watching. But the cricket, yeah, can't get enough of that.
Can't get enough of it. And it's, what are some of your favourite England-Scotland matches over the years? What go to you for Walker.
Obviously, Euro 96, that was the big one.
That's good.
And the ball moved, you know, because Yuri Geller told it to.
Yes, Gary McAllister's penalty.
That's the one, yeah.
Oh, that's a good one. Alex, any from you?
No, but I'm bedwettingly excited about this one, Ross. And I've been doing a little bit of research about this Scotland team, which I want to share with the listener in the spirit of education and the common weal. I want to talk about the Highlander, Callum McLeod, at some point during the course of this show.
Who's this Callum McLeod? Tell us more.
Well, I don't want to get distracted by how much I've the rich scene that I've managed to mine in relation to Callum McLeod. But let me tell you that I am incredibly excited about Friday's fixture, but slightly concerned, as always, about the weather in Aberdeen, Joe.
It's not looking good. I believe it's not looking good. Yeah, I think there were thunderstorms predicted, but thankfully they're no longer predicted, just heavy rain.
Which that's good.
Yeah. Which isn't ideal.
That'll be fine then.
Thunderstorms were predicted. Then they weren't. They may be again.
Okay.
Depending on when you're listening to this as
well.
Are
we the only people building this up as much as anyone else? That is depending on of course.
Well, it's knocking it down at the same time.
Absolutely. I'm not knocking it down. Someone mentioned Gavin Hamilton. You can't knock him down, Phil.
No, I mean, Scotland's finest player and probably England's worst.
You
can make your own conclusions from that. Mm-hmm. I was at a bit of a press thing yesterday and I spoke to a couple of the journos there who were getting the plane up there, and I would say they were one tick away from suicide watch, to be fair.
Really?
Yeah, this is the new season, and I don't know where they're coming from, because this is a classic old fixture, right?
Absolutely.
It's got so much history to it. It's a good time for Scotland to play England as well, having just qualified for the World Cup.
Yeah. England just lost to Holland. Great time to play them.
Absolutely. And, you know, with a bit of weather, it might turn into a 2020 slog-a-thon, and then even up the playing field.
If anyone thinks that our interest in England-Scotland is niche, let me tell you, I tried to do a bit of research on Harry Gurney, who's being picked for the squad.
Absolutely.
And I managed to find this incredible YouTube video made by a Leicestershire-based TV production company called Saw TV about Harry Gurney, called Get to Know Harry Gurney.
Oh, that's nice.
That's useful.
He's also been featured in New Faces in the in All Out Cricket not so long ago.
Not so long ago, but that's obviously a much more auspicious
next
publication.
That's what it's called. New
Get
Faces.
To Know Harry Gurney. 831 views on YouTube. Only the one comment. Harry, you are awesome. Well done, mate. Says Harry Gurney.
Oh, nice. Is that from Harry Gurney or a guy with the same name?
I have absolutely no idea whether he's a relation or not. Maybe Harry Gurney, if you're listening, you can confirm or deny that you're related to the other Harry Gurney. Or indeed, maybe you are the Harry Gurney. Who can say? But if anybody's thinking of watching it, I wouldn't bother.
You're saying that Harry Gurney's promotional video, but Gurney's the one interesting pick in that squad as we segue, Joe, is he, do you think?
I think everyone was expecting a few new faces in there, but they've played it pretty straight. They've gone with their strongest side. I think James Vince would have, I think Hampshire fans basically would have just been very put out. James Vince not there. Carberry obviously overlooked. And as you say, Harry Gurney's the only uncapped player in the squad, but even he was part of that tour to the West Indies and just didn't get a game. So yeah, it's kind of new era, more of the same. But the problem with the side is the people pushing for places are top order batsmen. I'd like to see Vince up there, but Cook and Bell have kind of got it nailed down. Whether you think they should or not, they kind of have.
Who bats three for the next 4 or 5 ODIs.
Root's in with a shout, I guess.
Is Moeen in with a shout, or is Moeen's he going to back down lower?
Well, I think it's probably between those two, isn't it?
Mm. It's Moeen for me.
For me too. I mean, I really see Joe Root coming in at 4 for me. I don't like him in that top 3. I think he's a bit vulnerable. I think Robson will in the long term come in and prove a real sort of anchor to that top order.
Yeah, it's the ODIs initially though, isn't it? And you know, I don't think Robson really features in that just yet. The thing with Root and ODI cricket, he's never really convinced for me. I don't think he has the versatility in his game just yet. And so I'm not sure that Root really features in their best 11 just at the moment. It's interesting that they picked Morgan. Obviously, he's in their first 11, but I would have liked to have seen him get another game or two for Middlesex, really.
He hasn't done enough, has he, for the test team?
It's a funny one. Atherton was on the TV on Sunday and he had him in his 11, and I can understand why he did.
If you're Gary Balance and you don't get picked, and Morgan does, you've got every right to feel pretty pissed off, though,
absolutely,
haven't you? It does make a bit of a mockery of
even James Finch.
You could get them both in there, though, especially with Stokes likely not playing the first Test match. You could play both of them at 5 and 6, and that's not impossible that they would go down that route. It's interesting that, and this is not a plug, but AOC this month is Morgan as the main story, and he says quite categorically that he understands it, that one day international runs count for significantly more in selectors' minds than county championship runs.
He was saying that they should count for more rather than that was in. I mean, you could read into that's what he thinks is the case, but
yeah,
it was an interesting, quite a bold. Morgan doesn't hold back, and it was quite a bold statement. I thought.
It is a big statement
because he's saying if you can face a one day attack, then you can face that same attack in Test cricket, which is quite a big jump. Really.
Well, it's been
you
proven
got a slip
wrong
Gordon most of the time for it.
Well, absolutely, and he himself is the living proof that you can't always play forward cricket because you can play one day cricket. I mean, he's one of the people. I mean, almost everyone else seems to be coming in, scoring some sort of runs and proving themselves. Unfortunately for Morgan, he's not had the best early season, while everyone else around him seems to be scoring some kind of runs.
Hold your horses, Ross. I think we're going into the county preview here. England watch. But just before we move away from England, Scotland, just a moment on Scotland. The sheer level of my ignorance was almost awe-inspiring for a while. And I thought, you know, maybe not a lot of people know a lot about Scottish cricket. Maybe there's not enough time in the day to commit to Scottish cricket.
I would dispute that. I've spent quite a lot of days committing to Scottish cricket.
Let's start with the
captain.
Put
your neck on the line here.
Joe. Yeah, that's big.
Kyle Kurtzer, let's start with the captain, because is he any good?
I mean, he took a great catch against New Zealand.
He's in the Champions Trophy,
one of the greatest. Oh,
that was a brilliant catch
for Scotland in a game they lost by about 712 runs.
But he's a very classy batsman, and he's got some decent county runs. He's Northants' one day skipper now. Alex Wakeley's out for probably the season, so he's got a bit of pedigree.
I've got a great quiz question for you lot.
You didn't want to know the answer.
Carl Kurtzer.
Yeah.
The thing about Carl Kurtzer is, and this is completely outrageous of me, particularly since I'm an England fan, it's chock full of South Africans. But the moment that I saw the Scottish captain, it's called Carl Kurtzer, I just sort of went.
But he's born in Scotland.
Yeah.
Well, in Scotland.
It's well, not well, now enough. Says I'm born
it's
in Scotland.
It's not some UKIP political broadcast. So let's just move on.
It's like the Italian rugby team. Have you ever looked at the Italian rugby team? And the Italian fullback in the rugby team is called like Callum McNifty or whatever.
Right, yeah. That's your second rugby reference as well. That's
yeah,
enough.
That's enough. No that's more, that's no it. Third one, you're out.
No, I've got a quiz question for you.
Here we go.
Who is the only Gaelic speaker ever to have been on the field for England? And listen to the question.
Okay.
On the field.
That's interesting. So some sort of substitute fielder are we talking?
Oh.
Clever stuff, Ross.
Brilliant.
Thanks.
Yeah, Ross.
Thanks.
Not just face.
Ding.
Read between the lines there.
Really did.
Oh, isn't that good?
That's I've got very a clue. Good. Surname is the same as Highlanders.
Oh, so it's Callum McLeod.
It's Callum McLeod, Joe Armour. It's Callum McLeod.
He also, hang on, let me. He was on a Gaelic speaking TV show. We're going back to the Who's Who, I'm again, I'm afraid.
But
he's been on TV.
And Callum McLeod, I found in the most rich history, not only the first English player to speak Gaelic when he was substitute fielder in the Ashes in 2009. But also, he's got the best, most Scottish nicknames ever. His nickname's been
Jock
Cloudy.
Oh, okay.
Highlander.
Yes.
And then Scott, S-C-O-T.
Yeah. If you've got a friend, this is to you, listeners, and he is Scottish and the rest of you are English, call him Scott. refer to him as Scott, Jock, all that stuff. I want to bring that back because it's fun.
Back in the day for Warwickshire, he took 15 first-class runs at 22 and then they ruled his bowling was illegal. His action had to be remodeled.
Too good, I would
reinvented
say.
As an opening batsman who smashes 170.
Yeah, good one at that. It's a long way. He still does a bit of bowling, but yeah, not much bowling. And he got picked up by Durham off the back of his World Cup qualifier performances. So he's on Durham's books to play 2020s when he's available. So that's quite a nice story.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, listener, time is short, not just on the Pod Blast, but just generally, and you have to seize the moment. So we're going to seize the moment to take a short break. Stop talking about England, Scotland, and start talking about England and the county championship race to join that England team against Sri Lanka in June.
We're doomed.
Do we want to play it back?
Preview of the pre-England-Scotland team talk. Ross, let's get on to the England side who are almost left behind as the others travel north of the border.
The dad's army, if you will.
That's right. And let's start with maybe its largest member, larger than life, of course, Samit Patel against Somerset, 132 and 75 and a couple of wickets. What chance, Samit? Wherefore art thou, Samit, Phil?
A few one-dayers, possibly, in the future, at best. He's a fine cricketer. I think he's found his level, though, realistically.
Ooh.
I do. I do. No, I think he's one of the best county players around, but I don't think he quite has what it takes to be a relevant and influential international
Influential,
player.
Perhaps, but he's as relevant as a lot of players who have played for England over the last few years.
How relevant is he? Not how good is he, how relevant is he? That's the question. Is he hip? Is he now? Is he happening? What I worry about is that Samit Patel is a fantastic batsman who's been hampered throughout his career by his ability to bowl.
Which I fear Moeen may walk into.
Exactly, yeah. Mm.
I understand what you're saying, but just in regards to Moeen briefly, I think the fact that he bowls a bit of spin will stand him in pretty good stead to getting in that first test squad because they don't particularly have a spinner, as we've discussed before, who is crying out for the gig. Lords rarely spins. It's the first test of the summer, early June, etc. That might actually swing it for Moeen.
It's all about timing as well, isn't it? Samit was a batsman who bowled a bit of spin at a time when Graham Swan was around. Moeen's a batsman who bowls pretty decent spin at a time when there aren't really many spinners. And it's unfortunate that Samit's basically been considered discarded when we're meant to be starting a new era, I believe.
A new era, you know, that's been said, hasn't it?
So in theory, he should have a fresh slate. He's not old.
Yeah, but the thing with Samit, for me personally, I think there are three or four better middle order players than him around the country. Mm. I think that Balance is a better player than him. I think that Bell is clearly a better player than him.
What about his own team? What about James Taylor? 60 against Somerset.
Yeah, I can't figure out the James Taylor thing.
Not at the start he needed either.
I can't quite figure it out.
He's failed many times.
Genuinely, and players have said this, particularly off the record, his height does stand in the way. Genuinely, it shouldn't.
I'm going
to
leave.
It should be down to runs, but it does. It genuinely does prevent him from pushing on.
And well, Alex Hale's too tall. You've got to fall within
Alex
the
Hale's
margins.
Just gets bowled all the time.
That's Hale's true. To Worcestershire. You must have been delighted about that as a Worcestershire fan. It's called 60.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Alan. I wanted to bring up that thorny issue because as exciting as it was, I also felt a bit bad for Tom Fell and Joe Leach, who are young cricketers, want to come in and play for Worcester. And yet we've got this hired gun to come in and bat in place of Moeen.
There's a chance for kids, right? Cody Cadmore, he hasn't got any runs yet, but he's playing all the games.
He hasn't. No, it's been a really good season so far for Worcester, and also Hales is a great player. I mean, I think there's even a chance that if he started playing the games he should do for Worcester, then might he see Worcester as a better option than not?
It's a beautifully provincial point, mate, that you've made.
Yeah,
about
absolutely.
Worcester,
yeah, I thought it was important.
I like where you're coming from. Mm. But in reality, what we want is as many good cricketers playing regular cricket as possible at the moment.
just before we go on some other England players, actually, I quite fancy having a chat about maybe the hottest batsman in Britain at the moment, Daryl Mitchell.
Oh, Daryl Mitchell. I'm glad you brought that up.
570 runs so far this season. 1,000 runs in May.
Is there a possibility of that? Well, we've got these people, I think, have had fantastic starts to the season. It just shows you what a terrific start Nick Compton had to last season. Because Rogers, Vince, Balance, Daryl Mitchell, Ed Joyce have all scored hats full of runs. A hat each, if you will. But I don't know whether any of them will come close to the Compton feat, which was nearly 1,000 runs in May.
Compton doing it in Div 1 as well, yeah. Which was a pretty incredible effort. In a side that weren't making many runs, he was getting so many of them, which I suppose is pretty true with Worcester as well. It's the bowling that's fired, isn't it, rather than the batting, yeah. Aside from Mitchell.
I mean, they failed to finish off Glamorgan today. But it's been a very exciting beginning to the first series of games, hasn't it, in the County Championship, Al?
Well, we've talked about some of the winners, maybe while some of the lads went north. But what about the losers? And I'm going to turn to you, Phil, here with great pain, because your prodigy Borthwick cannot buy a run at the moment, can he?
Yeah,
and he didn't even bowl in the last.
No, he didn't bowl because he's injured.
Mm. Well, what kind of excuse is that?
Yeah, it's lame. He is struggling a bit with the bat. He's not a number three batsman in the top division, notwithstanding the 1,000-odd runs he got last year. If I see him playing Test cricket anytime soon, then it is in that kind of fantasy position as 7 or 8 and a fifth bowler as a partnership breaker.
You losing your faith a little bit based on the start of the season? Not long term, but you wouldn't pick him in the first test
We were talking about. I probably wouldn't at this stage. No, we were talking about it the other day, and the makeup of the team. I'm quite keen on the idea of having a kind of a floating spinner, you know, not an out-and-out Monty or Kerrigan, but to have... And initially, before the season started, I picked Borthwick, and now I'm looking at Moeen Ali to do that kind of job. And for the first test match, and only for the first test match, I do fancy that.
It's interesting. We one of our guys, Henry, went down to Worcester, went behind the scenes with them for 3 days. Great piece in the magazine,
brilliant.
Which is out
absolutely
today.
Brilliant.
You'll be listening to it on the Thursday. And he spoke to Moeen Ali, and he'd spoken to Moeen Ali at the end of last year, who was very much downplaying his chances. And he said that, "I'm not going to be a Graham Swan, but I can do a job." And there'd been a noticeable shift in his opinion on that. Mm. And I think he's looked around and thought, if these guys are getting talked about as a frontline spinner, I'm not far off. Plus, I'll score you a fair few runs as well.
I think that is absolutely the climate. I mean, in those matches for the Lions, he was bowling more and more effectively than people like Borthwick and Rayner, who did have that little bit of a chance.
But not Kerrigan. I thought Kerrigan was great for the Lions, and is even bowling tight now without
he's
picking up
bowling
too many
really
wickets.
Well.
Monty took 6 for 111 in the last game, though. Has he got any chance of getting back
no.
in England set up? That's it. Game over.
No, he won't play for England again.
Mm. It just doesn't... Whether it's fair or not, it doesn't fit with all the noises that are coming out of the England camp. You can't say, again, new era, and then Monty's your spinner. I mean, when do we think he's going to continue playing until? Surely this is the time that you need to give someone a chance. Or you don't play the spinner, as we've said, and you play Moeen in the middle order.
Talking about new brooms, Stuart Broad over at the Royal Opera House for the launch of the ODI sponsorship. You were there, Phil?
I was there, yeah.
Okay, well, I mean, we
doesn't
can come
miss
from
so
the
glamorous
horse's
event,
mouth.
Phil. He's...
Yeah, yeah, let's get the celeb gossip, Phil. What was it like out there? What was the atmosphere like?
Oh, my word. You've clearly never been to a cricket press junket, have you?
What dress was he wearing?
Breakfast junket as well.
Yeah. Was he showing some boots?
No, they
were side boot.
No, there was, I would say, 800 to 900 PR girls.
Just as many platitudes.
I would broadly go with that. I did speak to Ben Stokes, who you know I'm mildly in love with.
Stokesy.
He's not allowed to talk about it, but did anyway, and he's back in training, so he'll be playing within 2 or 3 weeks. And even though all the grown ups have written him off for the first test match, he still thinks that he's gonna play in it. He showed me the scar on his hand when he put it through a locker. Are you telling me that the Hurt Locker is his new nickname up north?
It's nice that he's embraced that.
It's better, it's better than Scott.
It's great, though. Dealing with someone like Stokes is great because all the PR people say to you, you can't talk about this, and you can't talk about that, and you can't talk about that. And then he kind of brings it up himself. He doesn't give a toss, really. And that's what happens when you're that kind of lad who's so good, it doesn't matter what you say. But he was there, Broad was there playing the game, Mark Nicholas was there, obviously, smooth as you can get. Various double-barreled names delivering.
Not Ponsonby Frith.
No, I think it was Penry something or other, Penry Smythe.
Penry Smythe, yes.
Rupert, yeah, you probably represented him.
The Penry Smythe, of course. Of course. Now, apparently, Broad said that Moores was the right choice. And I just wondered how Mike Newell would feel about that. Or then Mick Newell. Being, surely, by logic, therefore, the wrong choice. Or are there two right choices?
Well, he's a selector, isn't he? So he can cover him. Newell's now on the selection panel. So okay. Broad could say, we've got the right man involved. We've got all the right men involved. And everyone can feel very happy.
So yeah. You can bring
the happiest person there was Charlotte Edwards. Charlotte Edwards was there. She was...
Central Contracts.
On cloud nine. And for good reason. I mean, what a genuinely, sincerely great story this is. And there's no room for kind of cynicism when it comes to this. You know, the ECB are easily kicked, and often with reasonable reason. In this instance, they've put their money where their mouth is. You know, and it's great for the women's game. It's great for women's sport. And I don't want to sound preachy about that, but it genuinely is. And now they are now being paid. The top 18 to 20 women cricketers in this country are now being paid a wage comparable to your average decent county cricketer. That is now a job that 25, 26-year-old girls are going to say, all right, well, I'm going to do that.
Not even 25, 26. I've got an 18-month-old daughter, and I should be saying to her,
that's the way. There's a freaking living. That is the way.
And we've seen a few England women players fall away because they've been offered media opportunities. So Isha Guha, who was playing for England when she was 17, I think, decided to walk away from the game for media opportunities. Holly Colvin, I think it's work opportunities rather than media opportunities, although she's doing a bit of both. But that's not going to happen now. Charlotte Edwards is saying I'm going to play for another 4 years, and I mean her knees aren't great, but I don't think they're going to stop her, and she won't be losing her best players, which is exactly what this deal should do.
It's terrific news, a very exciting news, and I look forward to watching the women's game.
Satisfied silence falls over the.
I know we're just really happy about that.
Is everybody thinking at the same time?
The silence of happiness. Cynicism,
so that's
nothing,
okay. Isn't
there's nothing for us to say.
More than happy with that.
And welcome to the commentary box at Murrayfield. You'll already have sensed the quite unique atmosphere here in the heart of Edinburgh on what is a quite unique occasion, the first time in the history of rugby union that two home countries have met head-on for the Grand Slam. They've played internationals here at Murrayfield since 1925, but in all the intervening time, I don't think Murrayfield has ever buzzed with the same air of feverish anticipation as at this very moment.
Until now, England versus Scotland at Aberdeen on Friday. Until now, dead body of Bill McLaren. That's all I've got to say about that. Always an opportunity to listen to Bill McLaren's voice, even from beyond the grave.
I don't even know who Bill McLaren is.
The greatest commentator in the history of sport.
Get that rugby out and talk about wicketkeepers, Al. What have you got to say?
All right, so the next section is on wicketkeepers, and I promise that I'm not going to say two words for at least the next 3 minutes, Stephen Davis.
Yeah, there we go.
So, Bairstow's back. 95 against Durham.
He's not a wicketkeeper, though, is he?
Pryor.
He doesn't fall into this segment.
Injured.
He was most upset when I suggested that he was a batsman who kept rather than a proper wicketkeeper.
He didn't really back it up, to be honest,
he was most upset from the start of that interview to the end of it.
Yeah.
You know who scored 167 in the latest round of County?
The guitar-playing little fella. Yeah.
Tim Ambrose. You know who scored 82?
Ben Folkes?
No. James Foster. Foster. Folkes didn't score any runs in the latest round of County Championship games. So, question for you. We're actually just off air, because, you know, there's magic off air as well as on air, listeners. Me and Joe were discussing about Geraint Jones, and apparently because he's been playing for Papua New Guinea, I've decided he doesn't qualify for England anymore. So, I've actually shrunk the list. But what say you, gentlemen, to a choice between Ambrose, Foster and Reid for that first test?
little Ambrose, he's
got a test century.
Yeah, he's an interesting character. He's smart. He's bright.
He's 31.
He plays the guitar.
Wild off Stumpton,
he's got depth. Impressive. Yeah, and he's good on the cut. He's good on the cut.
Is that a euphemism for?
It's a euphemism for nothing at all. No. He's a lovely fella from what I know, and a good cricketer. So he's an option.
All right,
James Foster. I shared a room with him for a week in the Isle of Wight. So he's an option as well.
That's good.
And who else? Chris Reed.
An option for what?
Well, for a redundant question. Who was the next one? Who was the next one?
Chris Reed.
Jack Russell. Bob Taylor.
Well, this is Evans. The point, isn't it? Who?
What is the
if it's not Bairstow and it's not Pryor, and you
I've
all
told
mock
you this before.
Stephen
it's
Davies,
Keith Besser, isn't it?
It's not. Kieswetter.
Well,
how could
think...
it? If there's any sense of justice in the world,
well,
how could it be Kieswetter?
Is it because he's South African?
It's the Nigel
we
Farage.
No,
it's your,
not.
It's Ina Farage.
This is not
coming
a
out yet again.
Thing.
Listen,
this is
I think
this is
if there's
thing.
Any justice, that it will be Kieswetter. I think Kieswetter is still a terrific batsman. He's a very misunderstood character, as we've spoken about before. He's a genuinely excellent player. Who I think actually a bad run in form that I think some more of the in crowd would have seen through in one day cricket. Someone like Bell would have been allowed
Bang
10
on.
Or 20 games without scoring the same kind of runs. An attacking batsman like Kieswetter was dropped. And I think it was awful because I think he is a genuinely expansive batsman.
He got dumped though, didn't he? Because he basically couldn't do anything other than block it or hit a boundary, which in one day cricket is a problem, particularly at the top of the order when boundaries aren't flowing easily. In test cricket, it's not so much of an issue, really. The gaps are there anyway. You're not really having to push a single. I'm not on the Kieswetter Bill bandwagon, but I think he is an option, certainly more than some of the other names does. But it is Butler for me. If Pryor doesn't play, I don't think Bairstow's anywhere near it as a keeper. If he plays as a batsman, I don't think that's going
to
happen.
Quite a prominent county cricketer said to me last week, Butler just slogs it, he said. And he played against him earlier this year. And
people said the same about Dave Warner, though, didn't they?
Yeah, he's
all right.
For sure. But they're two different human beings. In regards to Butler and how he's played in the last few weeks, he said he just comes out and slogs it.
They are two different human
spoons
beings.
Spoons it over extra cover, slips it through third man, Chinese edges, all that kind of thing. And he was saying... And he had no axe to grind, but he was saying, I'm sorry, but he's not a test match player.
I've got a
Who
suggestion.
Is this mystery man? Let's not move on. Who is this the county pro?
Godfrey Evans. Yeah,
Godfrey Evans.
Voice from the grave.
The secret cricketer to meet the secret footballer. I think we've got a terrific choice of people. I think that Pryor's career is not over by any means. Kieswetter's still a really
injured.
Good batsman.
I'm just talking about the
Butler's
test.
Great. And I think Davies is great too. I'll go with you on
Pryor's not considered ruled out of the first test by any means, though, is it?
No, but it's just a worry.
We all agreed Pryor plays if he's fit.
Well, no, I'd still pick Stephen Davies, but I accept the fact they'll choose Pryor because, you know, because they're blinkered.
Yeah.
But it should be Davies.
I would go Davies or Kieswetter too, Al, if that makes sense.
No, don't try and weasel Kieswetter in by
what
the back
Steve
door.
What about Steve Rhodes? What about Bumpy?
Nothing wrong with Bumpy. He's still got it. Oh, and that was another All Out Cricket Pod Blast. Phil, you've got a magazine coming out in the next couple of days, haven't you?
Correction. It's already out. It's out and about, and it's available, and it's a beauty. Owen Morgan leads off. We've got 17 pages on spin bowling. Our boy Henry goes to Worcester and lives it up, and Ravi Bapara's inaugural diary appears in this magazine.
That you got a whole lot of Ravi in All Out Cricket.
Did Ravi keep a diary before he was signed up by All Out Cricket, and he's just merely carrying on a lifetime
passion? He is the Peeps of English cricket. But while we're here, I'd just like to thank you for the Heineken and a quarter.
Sure, that's fine. I brought on Heineken and a quarter in for everyone.
You know, it's on Heineken and a quarter, I bet, at the moment. Flintoff apparently doing a comeback, you know, Lancashire 2020. That man did no retirement planning.
he really
needed to see a financial advisor.
It would be a car crash, but don't we all want to see him play?
He's not that old, is he? What is he, 36?
It's not happening, is it? Even the headline I saw was Flintoff coming back. Surely not. I think it was a cricket play.
Flintoff eyes Lancashire return. Surely the verb eyes can be worked into this in some way.
I'm sure eyes.
Eye something.
If BBC Sport get the chance to say eyes, they will say it.
A lot of people who are eyeing things are currently standing trial around London. It's an eye. It's quite an aggressive thing, isn't it?
Really, you've talked about this before, Al. It's one of your bugbears. Mm. It's a pet peeve. Thank you, listeners. Tweet us.